Well, folks, we will get in time during this year to the prophet Joel, one of those so-called minor prophets towards the end of the Old Testament. And there we will read what Joel prophesied. That a day would come when the Spirit of the Lord, when God's Holy Spirit, would be poured out on all people. Would be poured out on all people. And as Christians, we believe that that day came after the death and rising again of Jesus. It was at the festival of Pentecost, and on the day of Pentecost itself, all of those who had been with Jesus were gathered together in the one place. And suddenly, like a wind blowing from heaven, the Spirit came upon them and filled them. In fulfillment of what Joel the prophet had said those centuries before, the Holy Spirit was poured out universally on those who had gathered around Jesus. And there was the beginning of a new era. God was doing something different and never seen before. And it was Peter, his apostle, the follower Peter, who was able to make the exact and immediate connection between Jesus and what happened on the day of Pentecost. Here's what Peter said as he preached the first ever Christian sermon. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus, in other words, and you will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice the immediate connection. Believe. Give yourself to Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit. An immediate connection. Not, I want to put it to you, as some argue, that the gift of the Spirit is something that will come along maybe and at some time later. There are branches of the Christian church which argue accordingly, and we will deal with that in due course. They say, for example, Pentecostalists, they say that the gift of the Spirit comes afterwards, sometime later, after one has given one's life to Jesus and has been baptized. At some time thereafter, the Spirit will come. Mainline and Orthodox Christianity has always rejected that and claimed verses such as this one. When we repent, when we are baptized, when we turn to Jesus, there and then we are given the gift of the Spirit. Universally to Christians, those who gather to Christ. And folks, that's the age we live in now. The age of the Spirit. But long before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was active in the very beginning of creation, and then in the lives of particular individuals who God raised up and called out in a particular time and place and for a particular reason. So 2 weeks ago, Stuart led us through the story of Gideon. Gideon, who received power by the Spirit to enable him to lead his people against their foes. And last week, the way that very especially the Spirit fell on Bezalel. We read about it in Exodus. He was given gifts of craftsmanship and so on that he could furnish God's tabernacle. These men, at certain times, for particular circumstances, were given a special filling of the Holy Spirit. And today, we look at another example of how that happened in Joseph. Oh yes, there was much more than the technicolor coat, which is all we seem to remember. There was much more to Joseph than that. And what really defines Joseph most of all is what Pharaoh said of him. Here we have the verse. Pharaoh said to his officials, "Can we find another one like this man, in whom is the Spirit of God. And that's Joseph, right there. One in whom was the Spirit of God. Now, folks, notice this. This is Pharaoh, a non-believer. Pharaoh, a pagan. Pharaoh, not part of God's people, the Hebrews. And yet, from a distance, and without any of the things of the faith, he recognized that there was something about Joseph. Something different, if you will. Something special. My question this morning is, what was that? What was it about Joseph having the Spirit within him that made him different? How did the Spirit-filled life show itself? And that's what we want to gather around this morning. At that moment when Pharaoh first recognized it, well, it was very much to do with Joseph and his abilities to discern and to exercise wisdom. A famine was coming upon the nation. Doubtless great panic would have ensued. How are we to tackle it? How are we to face up to this challenge? And it was Joseph who had the vision, and Joseph who had the strategy, and Joseph who had the plan of action. And as he shared that with Pharaoh and the top officials of the land, they were able to recognize that here was someone who had something a bit more than they did. Someone who had something special and different about them. It's called the wisdom of God that gives us that ability to know and understand and discern and to read the signs of the times. It's a gift of the Spirit, and Joseph had it in abundance. But let's just briefly look at some of the other episodes from Joseph's life, when again we can see more and more evidence of his being filled with God's Holy Spirit. First of all, then, that God revealed himself to Joseph through his dreams. I mean, I guess we all dream. Some of us remember in the morning, others not. Sometimes we daydream. But it seems very clear that there are times, for whatever reason, that God speaks to communicate to his people through dreams. You can read it in Paul, in the book of Acts. By dreams, God guided him where he was going. Or back at the Nativity accounts, Joseph, the angel appeared to Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary, in a dream, and told him about the child who was coming and that he was to name him Jesus. Well, very certainly, Joseph was known for his dreams and his openness to God speaking to him in that way. So his dreams, a sign of his having the Spirit within him. And then I think secondly this, that despite everything, his being sold by his brothers as a slave and taken to Egypt, despite the worst of all possible circumstances, God allowed Joseph to prosper and succeed. From being sold as a slave to being in charge of his master's house and all of his affairs, he found favor among those he was with, and in this case, Potiphar, his master. Why? There were other slaves, but there was something about Joseph, something that stood him out from the crowd, something that had him marked. It was the Spirit of God in him that made him different. And then how about his times in prison, when again things went pear-shaped? But God was with Joseph in the deepest and darkest of days, allowing him to persevere, to hang in there. You know, we can't work it out exactly, but we know for a fact that he languished as a slave and then in prison for years, rather than days or weeks or months. And yet he continued steadfast. The Spirit gave him that perseverance that we need in life. And once more, he was able to prosper by the Spirit of God. And again, even so, he found favor in the eyes of others. Not just Pharaoh, not just Potiphar, but here now, the prison warder looked to Joseph and saw that there was something about him, something different, something warm and attractive, something that just drew people towards him. What was it? What was it about Joseph? It was the Spirit of God dwelling in him. Further evidence, I think, Joseph's absolute humility. Pharaoh comes to him and says, "You, I understand, can interpret my dreams." Now, this was Joseph's moment to take the credit. This was Joseph's moment to have the light shining on him, his moment of glory. And yet, refusing to take it for himself, he said, "I can't, not me, but I know one who can, the God of the Hebrews." This humility in his life, and this always pointing to God, further evidence that here was a man absolutely topped up, full of the Spirit. And then as you come towards the end of the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, when once more he is reunited with his brothers, those same brothers who sold him off, some of whom would have killed him. Those brothers whose actions led to him being in slavery and in prison for all those years. And for Joseph, perhaps then, it was a moment for revenge. The possibility to get his own back. And yet it was only forgiveness that he had within him. Saying to his brothers, don't be distressed. Don't beat yourselves up about this. He forgave them. He threw his arms around them. Lovingly embraced them. How is it that someone can forgive even in such circumstances as these? If not because he had the Spirit of God dwelling in him and bubbling up from him. And then again, a wonderful example of his discerning. His discerning. He was able to see that the actions of his brothers, well, actually the whole time, God had been in it. God's plan was being worked out the whole time, bringing him to Egypt so that he could then prosper his family and save his very nation. You know, that ability to look beyond the immediate circumstances and see what God is up to. Joseph had that gift and ability in abundance, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we could go on and on. This Joseph filled with the Spirit. I love this forgiveness that he extended to his brothers. And even now, when we see forgiveness in the world, we need to understand that's the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God that is enabling such forgiveness. I just heard recently about a woman in Brazil whose son had been killed by a gang. And as the young man who committed the crime was being arrested and was being brought to trial, the mother came and sought him out. And she wanted to do nothing other than assure this young man that she was forgiving him, even so. I'm not sure if we've got the clip or not. She speaks in Portuguese, which makes it very obviously different to understand. But even as you watch her face addressing the young man, you see the forgiveness coming through.
Oh, yes. Eu não tenho um pingo de ódio de você, mas eu só oro por você todos os dias. Eu esperei esse ano inteiro quase, esse ano inteiro quase, para dizer isso. Desde o início da sua vida, eu estava louco, foi arte, eu não conheci, o Senhor me compadeceu. E hoje eu estou triste, graças por você, porque você é uma imagem. Eu estou triste, olha para mim, mas eu preciso de nada. Você não deixou, você não deu a chance, eu era a minha filha, eu não tenho como ver.
And so she goes on, of course, forgiving. And she wanted to catch the eyes of the young man that he would see it for himself. I don't speak any of that language, but I saw a transcript of what she said. And the key line is this, she says, I'm a Christian, I'm forgiving you. And I'm going to pray for you for every day. You can't do that without an infilling of the Holy Spirit. We see it in that particular lady. Mary is her name. Just as we saw it in Joseph. And these are, if you like, the bits of evidence that we have that assure us and show us and prove to us the Spirit of God is alive there. And in Joseph's life, all kinds of people saw that for himself and were drawn to him. He stood out from the crowd by his being filled so by the Spirit of God. So much for Joseph. What about you? Do you stand out? Are people drawn to you? Do you recommend yourself to others by the way you live? Only if within you the Spirit of God is alive. Now here's the thing. In coming to Christ, that gift of the Spirit is given you. So I say to everyone who has gathered to Jesus, you have that gift of the Spirit. It is there. By definition. But will you let it bubble up? Will you let it flow out of you? As Joseph did. Let's pray.